you can become too Kawaii to live. So you better hope that you're too Sugoi to die.
How kawaii is everyone feeling today?
About 3 out of 5. How about y'all?
Probably a 3 or 4. I watched the newest RoboCop the other night.
How was that?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I.
Did you?
Nice.
That's good.
It's up on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it is. I actually wanted to watch the new Dread, but that is no longer streaming.
If you see that, let me know what you think about
that. Okay. I've heard good things, and I liked the original.
Okay.
You know. Funny thing is, actually, last week, last Monday, I think, I wanted to watch the original Dread, because it was just my brother and I sitting here playing Monster Hunter, as we've been doing.
Nice.
But Dread wasn't streaming, so I was like, all right, maybe I can just look it up on the internet. There's all sorts of illegal free streaming websites, whatever. But then I was like, wait, let's watch Demolition Man instead.
I really need to see that. Oh,
I had never seen it before.
Same.
Neither have you? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, you people.
It's not for wanting to, despite like my Blade Runner thing. Right, it's just that I've never had a chance. Like, I look on Netflix, it's not streaming. I don't pirate
True.
So, if I have the opportunity, I will watch it gladly.
Yeah.
God, that movie's so good.
Maybe I'll see how much it is, and I might get a physical copy. I don't know. But yeah, Demolition Man was... It definitely seemed like they were trying to be comedic at times.
Yes.
Which I was totally okay with.
What I remember from the commercials back in the mid-90s is that movie looked hella mid-90s. Like,
yes.
Oh, God,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know, it's... There was, like, this lightheartedness to it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like even Total Recall, which, like... You watch that, and you see that scene where they're having the gunfight on the fucking escalator.
Yep.
And Arnold's just using this dude as a human shield. And that body is just fucking riddled with bullets before he tosses it at a couple of guys and runs away. And that's super fucked up. That's a super fucked up thing to have in your movie.
Yeah.
But there was still, like, this weird lightheartedness to the rest of the film that, like, I don't know, like, wasn't really on purpose, I guess? I don't know. It was good, though. I fucking love the original Total Recall. I have never seen that remake that came out recently.
It's the only one I've seen. I haven't seen the original, but the remake?
Oh, man.
Fucking awful.
I have the original on DVD, so... Maybe we'll have to make something of that. I don't know. I really appreciate, like, late 80s and early 90s action movies, I guess. I have a bunch on DVD. Or, like, even Hot Fuzz, because they kind of, like, tried to do that stuff on purpose. Whereas, like, the older stuff just kind of happened to do it.
Yeah.
But it worked in Hot Fuzz. What else was I going to say? Okay, so anyway, this new RoboCop. Yeah, it was pretty good. I thought it was kind of funny that Samuel L. Jackson is basically Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's basically Bill O'Reilly, only he's constantly surrounded by holograms.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely good if you're not going in expecting the original.
Yes.
Like, it's good in its own right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird that they went for RoboCop when they could have done it, but it's fine. Like, it's fine. I'm fine with it, as opposed to what I've heard about that new Total Recall.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on. They didn't even fucking go to Mars.
No.
They didn't go to a lot of places.
I do have to say, that first time that they, like, take his RoboCop body off, because he wants to see what's actually left of him.
Oh, fuck that part.
Yeah, that part was pretty disturbing. Like, it was... That was really weird, because, like, the second time that you saw all that, I, like, wasn't as weirded out by it at all. But, man, that first time...
Yeah, it was super just grating, and it almost made me sick, and I've seen some fucked up shit in my life.
Like, it's PG-13.
Yeah.
Have you seen? I thought you were talking about theme song, and I was gonna say I bet we could convince Marina to let us use Bubblegum Bitch.
Holy shit! Like with the whole cyborg thing, you know I can't or won't say no to that. Like, yeah.
I have to. I haven't heard this song.
Yeah, pull it up on YouTube. It's
pretty good. It's pretty good.
I fucking can't spell anything.
Sorry, Fox, I think I interrupted you like a dozen times in the past few months.
Oh, that's okay. I'm
the
going to listen to this song.
The only problem, Spence, is Electra Heart was released in America by Atlantic Records.
Shit.
So, yeah. God bless Marina. I love that you're my only other friend who likes Marina. Well, Greg actually appreciates, but aside from you two, nobody else gives a shit.
I don't know. It sounds like Fox has like, probably not even heard of her.
Most
I haven't.
Yeah, no, most people have not.
Which, I don't know, that's fine. I hadn't heard of her until, you know, like half a year ago.
Spence, I was at a Mormon dance a few weeks ago, and that was a blast for a lot of
Holy
different reasons.
Holy shit! I'm sorry, I know Jaren was talking, I could barely hear him because of the song, but holy shit! Why haven't I heard of this?
Alright, like, we have another new Marina fan.
Jesus Christ, like, I heard you tweeting about her a couple times, and I was like, I should really check this thing out, and then I never got around to it, but Jesus.
Yeah. I listen to more Marina than anything else except for the Neo Tokyo soundtrack. Like, I listen to her while I shower, while I fall asleep, while I work out, like, while I lift weights, while I program. I'm listening to her, like, 70% of the time I'm listening to anything. It's a thing.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, so I was at a Mormon dance, and that was a blast for a bunch of different reasons. And Marina comes on. It's super fucking loud in there. And How to Be a Heartbreaker comes on. And everyone's like, you can tell the general reaction of the room is every single person, probably about 100 plus people, being like, hey, this is really good. This is catchy. I like this. Who the fuck is this? I don't know this one. Because, you know, people had known everything else that came up. Well, I am, like, losing my mind. Like, actually hyperventilating, like, fanning myself. Just going full fucking gaze. Had to, like, walk over and, like, talk to somebody about it. Oh.
Okay.
That's
good.
I'm glad.
Spencer, I wanted to ask you, have you seen the newest Avengers trailer?
Not the newest one. The last one I saw was, I think, the first one, the There Are No Strings on Me trailer.
Okay. Yeah, I would suggest watching the third one, Avengers Teaser Trailer 3.
Okay.
So good.
Was the one I described, was that the first one then?
That was the first one, yeah.
Okay.
The second one doesn't really show anything new.
Okay.
Like, if you watch the third one. Yeah, if you watch the third one, you'll see all the stuff that's in the second one, basically.
Okay. By the way, I guess, so I don't remember, was the Ant-Man movie always for sure happening, or, like, I think I saw an announcement, like, a month or two ago that was like, Ant-Man movie's definitely happening for real, and I was like, oh man, I wonder what Fox thinks about that.
So I just watched the trailer for the Ant-Man, because I had sworn off of it because of the whole plot surrounding that movie. But yeah, it was basically always on, but they were looking for a director after Edgar Wright left.
So Paul Rudd was supposed to play Ant-Man, right?
He is. He is playing Scott Lang, Ant-Man.
Okay. Which Ant-Man is that? Is that like Ant-Man 3?
That
or
is
Ant-Man 1?
That is technically, I think, the second Ant-Man.
Okay.
And Hank Pym is in it, who was the first Ant-Man.
Right.
But
I've heard of Hank Pym. Don't worry, I've heard of Hank Pym.
God, you goddamn right you've heard of Hank Pym.
I can't even remember where, like, I did start reading that Marvel, like, timeline thing that you sent me. You were like, if you want to figure this stuff out, read all of this. And it's like, all right. I, like, scratched the surface on that, and I can't remember where I left off, unfortunately.
There is a good animated series on Netflix called Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Jesus Christ, get that out. And that's actually pretty close to the comics.
Okay.
Which
is
that
surprising. Recent or an older show?
2010 it came out. And it's only like two seasons long. It's a fucking shame because it was really good. And that has the whole storyline for the Ant-Man movie in it, basically.
Oh. Okay. Is it a bummer? So, like, it's weird how much goddamn lore there is to comic books.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Kind of unfortunate for people like me who, like, just didn't get into it immediately.
Right.
So it's like, I guess I could read the comics, but also here's, like, pages and pages of wiki text that describes this stuff more easily, I guess. I don't know. Thor was a frog once, or has a pet frog.
Yeah.
Whichever.
In the pet Avengers.
Yeah, the pet Avengers. That's fine. Superman has, like, eight goddamn pets. He has a horse.
Yeah. God damn it.
There's a super horse.
Of course there's a super horse. I mean, that's just all horses.
Yeah, okay. Okay, sure.
Man.
What was I even talking about? Sorry. Yes, Ant-Man. Is it a bummer that Hank Pym didn't make Ultron?
Oh, absolutely. If you want me to get into this, I will.
Yes, actually. Yes, I do.
All right. Yeah.
Okay,
that's why
so
I brought it up.
Fox, let me qualify that. As someone who has listened to both episodes of Gen Zero twice, at least.
Oh, shit.
Yes, I have listened. It's more like 2 point. There's a decimal involved. But as that person, yes, I do want you to go in as deep as you want, like balls deep, about this whole Ant-Man Hank Pym thing.
Okay, well, I'll start at the beginning. Hank Pym was a super genius who developed a serum that allowed him to shrink down to about the same size of an ant, but he still kept his strength as a relative to his size. So he was still human strength, but ant-sized. He also developed the ability to do the reverse, where he actually increased his strength when he grew, so he could go become a giant too. Let's see what else. But for the movies, in relation to the movies with Ultron and stuff, he originally built Ultron.
Right. I have read that on a wiki.
Yeah. there is a short comic series called Age of Ultron, which has nothing to do with the movies. It's just the same title, which is a really good series. But that's just a recommendation. He built Ultron originally, at least in the series that I watched, to help protect people.
Right.
Like, it was a world police kind of thing. And
I
you
mean,
know how
Dr.
AI
Light
do.
Light made all of those goddamn robot masters.
Yeah. And it is kind of...
they were used for good for, like, a little bit.
And it is the stereotypical AI thing where the best way to protect humans is to police them. Or control them.
Sure.
So Ultron... Or actually, I think Ultron just straight up wants to destroy them.
Right.
So he kind of goes crazy, and there are, I think, 7 iterations of Ultron, where he starts out as this really wonky-looking robot. Hold on, let's see. But, he looked kind of dinky and stupid when he first showed up. But eventually he got a real-life body. And the cool thing is... he eventually, which I think is shown in the movies, he actually breaks down Captain America's shield and coats himself in vibranium to make himself nearly indestructible.
Weird.
Yeah. But they totally fuck him over in the movies because they just have Tony Stark build him, which really pisses me off.
Because he deserves better?
Well, Hank definitely deserves better, I can tell you that much. Hank's just an old man in the movies. When he was a founding Avenger to begin with, him and
Oh, was he?
Yeah, like yeah. The Wasp, his on-again, off-again girlfriend, is the one who named the Avengers. Yep.
Is it just like there's not enough actors to do all of these goddamn superheroes? I guess.
Actually,
I don't know.
Part of it is Edgar, the ex-director's fault, because they originally planned to do an Ant-Man movie before the first Iron Man movie was made, but it kept getting put off because Edgar Wright wanted to make his own movies, and they just let him do that. But he still, I think, had this Scott Pym.
Marvel ones.
Right, yeah. I mean, sure. Edgar Wright made the Cornetto trilogy and Scott Pilgrim.
Oh!
Yeah, he did.
So.
Right, yes, of course. I mean, that kind of... Man, that's kind of a bummer, because it's like...
Yeah.
Those are all really good movies that he made, but also, like, I probably would have seen an Ant-Man movie.
Fuck yeah.
I bet my dad was a huge Marvel comic book nerd.
My uncle was. That's how I got into him.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's part of the reason why I'm interested, or just, like... I don't know, Marvel seems way more interesting than DC.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think that's universally accepted.
The Hulkbuster armor looks fucking amazing, though. Oh, my God.
It does. Okay.
Oh.
It does.
That's the thing that pisses me off about these movies, is that I still like the way most of them look.
I mean, it's just like another universe, like Ultimate Marvel.
Yeah, oh, God, don't even. Ultimate Marvel is... None of those characters are very pleasant.
No.
Yeah,
But still, like, it is the same idea. It's just like, it's just another alternate universe because everything just has to be bigger and grander, so of course there's multiple dimensions, and of course there's a different version of every single character from the comics in all of those dimensions.
Yep. Actually, the current Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Nick Fury is from the Ultimate Universe. Because the standard universe, Nick Fury is a white guy. And Ultimate Nick Fury is actually based off Samuel L. Jackson.
Right. Is that, like, actually still true in the comics, though?
The Ultimate? Yeah. They came to Samuel L. Jackson and asked if they could use his likeness for him.
No, but are there comics still like running in the original universe right now, or is it like just all about the Ultimate Marvel right now?
God. I mean the canon gets so screwy, I think I wouldn't even be able to tell. But I definitely know Ultimate's a whole different like comic series.
Okay, so it's the like Ultimate going doesn't mean that there isn't like original universe stuff going as well.
Right.
Okay. Man, like I talk a lot about how like Japanese video games are really convoluted and up their own ass.
But yeah.
Fucking comic books, guys.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Part of it is like it's kind of neat. Like I like superheroes, I guess. I still wish that I had a VR headset that I could just put on. It's like, hey, you're in some weird fantasy tavern, but like you're here to play Dungeons and Dragons inside of this fantasy tavern.
That would be awesome.
On this VR headset. You know, I had this idea just this morning while I was just like, I don't know, probably sitting in my car not doing work.
playing Majora's Mask.
I did play some Majora's Mask. I tried to do some more stuff around Clocktown, and then I got to the swamp, and I can't figure out how to get into the Deku Palace yet.
Oh, you'll get there.
Yeah, I will. Anyway, what was I talking... Oh, yeah, I have this... So, like, Mortal Kombat, right?
Right.
Well, yes.
You know, it had, like, animalities and babalities.
Brutalities, friendships. Oh, no, I'm on board.
Yeah. I thought of one today.
Uh-huh.
Called Personalities.
Okay.
Yeah, they just, like... just become somebody else or something, like, I don't know, like, ah, you did a personality, Scorpion just exploded into freaking Channing Tatum.
I'm envisioning a really bad, like, 80s-style impression that stand-up comics of the time would do, where it's just, like, Johnny Cage really poorly being, like, a B-list celebrity from real life. Good, great, this is exactly what I need. You know what, that's something I could see that team doing. MKX is gonna be so fucking good.
Yeah, it is.
Is there, like, a non-violent mode for babies like me that don't want to see people's insides?
They brought brutalities back, so probably not.
Yeah. Probably the opposite.
As long as, like, they explode into multiple skeletons.
Yes.
They don't. It's just really gross now. Instead of, like, 16 rib cages coming out of... So the only brutality I could do was sectors in UMK3, because it was really straightforward and easy. And, yeah, like, just... It's like, okay, that was 14 tibias. Like, that's not how... whatever. Yeah, this isn't like that. This is just really gross. This game is actually even grosser than MK9. It's cool, but it's gross as hell.
That's...
I don't really want that, though. Like, I'd straight up decided to turn off violence on... Dragon Age Inquisition. So I was no thanks. I think
does
I even
Dragon
turned
Age
it off on Assassin's Creed 4.
But does Dragon Age Inquisition actually have people getting their heads sliced in half and you can see their actual brain anatomy as they slide to the ground?
I'm pretty sure the first Dragon Age had that stuff.
Okay, well, I am sure MKX has that stuff. So.
I know.
Oh,
I know. I don't know what I'm even trying to say right now. I'm just trying to say I'm a big weenie and I don't want to see every single organ that is inside someone.
They can stay on the inside, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Right. I don't.
And also, I don't need to see an X-ray view of those insides as they're just like getting bruised,
brutalized. Really.
Yeah.
Bruised is such a kinder term than what's happening. No,
I know.
That makes you a weenie.
I
think that
pulverized,
makes you an
adult. I guess. Like, I guess basically just hit so hard that it's basically just like a sack of blood inside of you.
Usually that hit is with a knife and not a blunt object, so people are more getting impaled. It's gross.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. You know, that makes me think, like, I started watching The Twilight Zone on Netflix.
Now, when you say that, you mean like the old school one, yeah?
It's the Twilight Zone, the original series.
Amazing.
The black and white one, 1959 to 1964, five seasons. Yeah, I'm a little bit more than halfway through the first season because it's like 30-something episodes per season. I don't know what I was expecting about a show from the 50s.
God.
But it is a lot darker than I had assumed.
Hell yeah.
It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
It's really goddamn good.
Are you hitting any points where something happens and you, like, your brain flashes back to, like, three or four times throughout much newer media, you saw allusions to that, not realizing it was an allusion that, yep.
Well, and, I mean, like, some of them, like, I even knew, like, well, I've seen this gremlin on a plane thing, or, like, the dude whose glasses fall off his face.
Okay, yep.
Like, you see, like, at least a few references made to that in the past, like, 20, 25 years alone.
Yeah.
But, like... Even still, like, seeing the original, it's still like, man, this is really fucking good. Like, honestly, those references don't really do it justice.
Sure.
I gotta say. And also just some of the places that they get. Like, okay, probably one of my favorite episodes so far. So just what I've seen. These people on Maple Street. Like, they're just, you know, whatever. So they're chilling. It's Saturday afternoon, whatever.
Yep.
The power goes out, and for some reason nobody's cars can start. And one of the kids that lives on the street starts talking about, like, he read this comic book, and, like, only the monsters that look like people that live among us can leave, because they have to report to their masters. And, like, at first everybody, like, laughs it off, and, like, oh, that's no big deal. And then, like, one guy's car actually starts, and they're, wait, why did your car start? And, like, it gets to this whole fucking thing, everybody's just super paranoid about each other. And, like, eventually, it gets to the point that, like, one guy just straight up murders a dude. He was like, oh shit, that was just a regular guy! But then everybody's power starts coming back on one by one, and they're like, oh no, he's the monster, no, they're the monster. And so, like, literally the episode ends with everybody just murdering each other. And it pulls out, and there's, like, these two guys in spacesuits standing next to, like, I can't remember if it was, like, a disc, like, a saucer or, like, a rocket, but, like, one of them, like, clearly the senior officer talking to the newer guy is like, yeah, it's pretty much like this all the time. Like, whenever we do this experiment, it always ends up like this. You're just like, wow, it's always like this? Yep, they just kill each other. And then, like, Rod Serling's little outro as the credits are starting is like, yeah, prejudice, like, really halts all progress, doesn't it? Just makes everybody kill each other. I was like, damn, Rod Serling, that was fucked up. It was like, just... Everybody just starts pulling out guns, and it's like, what the fuck?
That's America.
Why is that already...
I was gonna say.
Yeah. I don't know, it was good. Also, like, just all the mental stuff, like the dude who, like, can't stop gambling.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good-ass show, though. Like, despite, like, all the stuff that, like, is weird to me living in this day and age, because, like, people using payphones... And, like, all of the indoor smoking. Oh, my God. So much smoking indoors. Holy shit. But, yeah, would recommend.
That's
watch
cool.
You some black and white television. It's fucking class. Like, it's not even that, like, oh, this was only really popular because there probably wasn't anything else on. It's like, no, it was because it's really fucking good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's, like,
mm-hmm.
high quality.
My buddy and I have been finally watching through Twin Peaks because neither of us saw it. And this buddy and I played through Deadly Premonition together. So, of course, I've seen tons of cultural references, you know, throughout the years. Some of them, I'm sure, I haven't even realized at the time. And obviously, that's what Deadly Prem is. So it's been really fun, actually. More like three episodes in. But that show is certainly an experience.
Yeah, that show is amazing. And it's probably better to play or watch Deadly Prem and then go back and watch Twin Peaks, because I had seen Twin Peaks first, and I was just watching through Deadly Premonition, just going, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, no, that was actually a concern of mine, because Deadly Prem is one of our favorite games, just of all time.
Yeah.
It's a blast. There's so many things that are good about it. And I was a little bit nervous to go back to something that's obviously so heavy of an inspiration, wondering if it was going to retroactively kind of ruin Deadly Prem a bit for me. And so far, it hasn't, because you see the similarities, but then also they're pretty massive differences, at least so far.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Both of them are a trip in their own way. Holy shit.
Dude,
yeah.
That first episode, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that first episode.
Well, you guys know when you're getting into a new show, like the pilot, it's going to be a thing that's, you know, not 100% indicative of the final show, and you kind of just got to sit through, and
right.
Maybe it kind
of
gives you a...
No, I mean, like, but that first episode is incredible.
Exactly. Like, we thought it was going to take, like, about three episodes till we kind of clicked with it, and we were really fun. No, like, 50 minutes into the pilot, we were like, so
yeah.
This is amazing, and we couldn't
yep.
stop. Yeah.
I... Goddamn. That whole first hour is just people crying.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
The most amazing thing about that show so far, and I mean it's David Lynch, so like no shit, but it's
right.
weird, And so it's really, really weird about food. Like, here's the scene where everyone's just stuffing their face with donuts, and it's not subtle. Yep. It's really overt. So obviously it means something, and David Lynch wants us to see something, and he's trying to talk to the sheriff, and this dude's chipper as fuck, and you can kind of not really understand the sheriff because he is probably going to fucking asphyxiate on that donut because that was like a 10-bite donut that he ate in one, and it's just coming out of his mouth. Okay, and here's all these establishing shots of scenes where there's just donuts stacked strangely or whatever, and then this fucker's gonna show up with these sub sandwiches that are just butter and brie, which makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
Oh my god, they're sandwiches! Grab
it, and he's gonna bite into it sideways as he creams his pants. It's amazing. And don't tell me if that's ever explained or if the show is going anywhere. That I don't want to know. I want to keep being baffled by what that show was doing with food. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've only seen the first three or four episodes myself.
Okay.
Oh god, I've watched through the entire series, and yeah, that series is definitely something you have to experience for yourself, and have nothing spoiled for you. Even the most inconsequential part of it is amazing.
Sure.
Okay.
Actually, Deadly Prem is the same way. Like, avoid saying anything specific because that game took us about 20 hours to go through, which I did not expect. And was amazing in a ton of ways, which I did not expect, because you come to that game being like, this little budget, like, hilarious piece of shit, like, it's just gonna be janky and funny, and like, kind of enjoyable, and then it constantly surprises you. My favorite thing in the world is to be surprised. I avoid movie trailers. Once I'm sold on something, I just go into it as blind as I can, book, movie, whatever, and even up near the end, like, we never tried fishing in Deadly Prem, because it's a fucking stupid side mechanic in the janky game. Like, it's not... The fishing mechanic's fun as shit. We were losing our mind being like, this fishing's amazing. Like, that game never ceased to surprise. And we're still referencing their sandwiches and shit to this day.
Yeah. So, here's the thing about that is pretty much every single Japanese developer has made at least one fishing game.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed. The guy that wrote all three Mother games, so that's Earthbound and Thems, has made a fishing game. I'm pretty sure the fishing game has his name on the box, Sid Meier's style.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
The question is, do you want to play a fishing game without the Dreamcast fishing controller? Because I don't.
They made one for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
Holy shit. Honestly, and here's what's going to make me sound like a heretic, best fishing game I ever played was Fishing in Ocarina of Time, and I don't give a shit what you think.
Fuck yes.
Uh-huh.
God.
I mean, I don't even remember Ocarina of Time anymore.
Really? Wow.
It's been a long-ass time since I played that shit.
Same, but I played it so many times, just with sheer hour exposure, that I can't forget most of that game.
I'm pretty sure I finished it like once.
Yeah, you're probably more normal than I am.
Yeah, I finished that game.
I
played that game so hard I started looking up ways to break it.
Oh yeah.
And doing those things, like jumping through walls and shit.
Yeah, that's how Metroid Prime was for me. You beat that game enough, and it's like, all right, well, sequence breaking is cool.
Yep.
What was I talking about? Shit.
Fishing games.
Bruhs. No, I have no strong opinion on fishing in video games. I don't know, it's fine sometimes. There's fish you can catch in Monster Hunter that you can turn into bombs.
Okay. You know what? I fished more in Torchlight than I should have.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of bullshit, but the fish you caught were, like, actually useful in gameplay. Yeah. So I was like, well, I'll sit here and do this stupid thing.
Torchlight 2 is pretty good, though.
That's true.
It is. Fuck, there was a game I was just playing that I was fishing my ass off in, and now I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Pokemon. Never mind.
Okay, well, sure. No, yep, of course.
Which Every time Pokemon? I've seen you online as I've been playing something on my 3DS, it's been like, yeah, he's playing Pokemon.
Actually, this week I've been pretty lax on it, but I've been playing Omega Sapphire.
Okay,
the
how's
newest
that?
One. It's really good, especially if you liked Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald, the third gen.
Okay, see, you know my Pokemon game experience, right?
You stopped at gold, right?
It's a little more complicated than that, but in simple terms, yes. In more complex terms, you know, played Red back in the heyday, like when it first came out, I was, I think, in 7th grade.
Like, of course.
And that was fun, that was a blast. Played that way, way, way too much. You know, just Ocarina of Time is one of those games I have played for an innumerable number of hours in my life and will forever be burned into my brain. And in a way, that kind of almost burnt me out on it. But my friend Steve, who was the cool kid who, like, had things before other kids did and stuff, hooked me over to Pokemon Silver ROM after that came out in Japan. And so I was in, like,
wait.
So I was in 8th grade.
An English one?
No, sir. It hadn't been translated yet.
All right.
And guess how much Japanese I knew in 8th grade?
Absolutely none.
You are correct, sir. So...
That was an easy question. Give me a note.
Exactly. And I hadn't even played much... I think it might have been the first game I played on emulator. I don't think SNES emulation had really taken off too much at the time. It was And so I pull up in the ROM on this Game Boy emulator. In fact, I had distributed this further after my friend gave it to me to my other friends on floppy disks. You know, just put the emulator in a ROM pass it on. Yeah, you
floppy
know it.
Disks.
Uh-huh, like you do. And I had a fucking blast with Silver because it's... In Japanese, I didn't have the internet. I had no sort of way to know anything about, like, what the features were, anything about it, nothing. Like, so you just figure things out as I came. Like, oh, I have a backpack now. I can tell the items are sorted kind of by class. That's cool. Like, word. Okay, these bushes, you can pick things. Like, oh, there's a button, like, just for your bicycle. That's cool. And everything that happened, hey, like I said, I'd like to be constantly surprised. And everything in that game was a fucking surprise. Like, oh, I guess that's a red Gyarados. Like, cool. I don't really know what's up with that, but this is great. Like,
right.
And then when you go back and it's
also weird, there's colors
later,
in this one.
I know, right? And see, I still had a Game Boy, just the fatty brick one, and
emulator
that I was playing in color, but that was my first Game Boy game I played in color, even though it was on a Game Boy. And then you go back and it's 2 years later and you're back in the original region, like Cinnabar Island has, like, obviously the volcanoes explode. Game constantly fucking blew my mind. And I felt like Lois and Clark, like just being out there being like exploring uncharted territory that nobody else from my culture at least has ever done before. Just like maybe catching strange diseases or something, and they come back and be like, yo motherfuckers, check this shit. Oh, you still playing Pokemon Blue? That's cute. So let me tell you about Silver. So after that, like, it was so cool, but I kind of fell off Pokemon. Like, it was like, that was really cool, it was a lot of new stuff. It was, but it was, you know, quite similar to the rest. So when Gen 3 came out, I was like, I don't really have any interest. So Fox, on Gen 0, you mentioned offhand, in passing, that Gen 3 is super fucking good. What's so good about it?
Fuck yes, it is. Actually, I don't really know what makes it one of my favorite generations, but...
I don't either, but I agree with you.
It's fucking... I think, actually, the storyline is really interesting, for especially for a Pokemon game.
Yeah. Well, have you ever played either of the GameCube ones?
No, no.
Those,
that's what, like, Gale of Darkness and something else.
Pokemon Colosseum.
Okay.
They both... continue, but, like, they were different. They didn't even have badges.
Yeah, they weren't your traditional Pokemon-style Pokemon games.
Definitely not. It's crazy.
But yeah,
they're kind of awesome because of it, though.
Oh, yeah. Any little departure from the Pokemon...
Formula.
That's the word. That's the fuck. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. It's like a cookie cutter at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like Assassin's Creed, like that tower-shaped cookie that they got going on. This one's just shaped like a Pikachu.
Yep.
But also, I think some of the best actual Pokemon probably come from the third generation, but I would actually have to look that up.
Yeah. Oh, everybody loves Blaziken.
Yeah.
Spence,
yeah.
The thing is,
Mudkip.
Because I only played Gen 1, and then Gen 2 in a language that was Moon Runes, and
then
the only other Pokemon I ever played was when I got a DS Lite. I got Pearl Necklace and played some of that.
Did you play that one?
I did.
I didn't like Gen 4 that much. Considering I played it for like 150 hours at least. I walked away from that 150 hours and I was like, that wasn't that good.
Yeah.
My issue with it is it mirrored my remembrance of Red way too close. They've, like, wasn't the first gym a rock gym or a fire gym or whatever before, and then the second gym? And, like, instead of there being, like,
yeah.
Pidgeys and Rattatas in the first wild grass, there was, like, some other stupid fucking pigeon and a Bidoof, which was, like, the dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life in the stupid fucking grass. Yeah, and it was, like, the same fight. Like, the starters were fire, water, or grass. And it's like, oh, so this is actually just the game I played when I was literally in seventh grade, but, like,
yep.
again,
yes.
so I
yeah.
gave it to my friend's little sister.
Yes, literally,
so,
again.
Is
like
I bought
into Generations both 5 and 6 and did not finish either of those.
Wow.
6, which was X and Y, I downloaded onto my 3DS because I was like, well, I'm probably going to really like this because it's fucking Pokemon. So, like, why even bother with a physical copy? Because I had already gone to, like, one Walmart to see if they had it, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to download it. And then, like, recently, I deleted it because I was like, I'm never going to play this
man.
Again.
Yeah, mine comes in fits and starts. Like, every time a new Pokemon game comes up, I'll be like, oh, let me check this out. And then I'm gone for months.
Like World of Warcraft.
Exactly. Only with weirder creatures. Looking at the...
yeah, I guess.
Well,
World of Warcraft is, like, almost getting to comic book, like...
Oh, yeah. The
levels
lore is fucking
of
ridiculousness. Yeah.
When are we going to fart...
Oh, give me a couple minutes.
Okay.
I gotta work up to it.
Fox, when
yeah.
are we gonna fight Sargeras for real?
Oh, god damn it.
Do you know?
If I knew, I'd be Chris Metzen.
Okay.
He probably doesn't even fucking know. I would love to see that. God, that's... I was always expecting us to hit level 100, and that would be when the Sargeras fight starts.
I know. I totally saw that coming as well, and then it didn't happen.
Nope.
And then they were like, also, we're gonna be fucking making World of Warcraft for at least 10 more years.
Yeah.
So, like, level 200, maybe? I don't know.
God,
we'll see.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
also,
I really
like,
wanted...
The amount of tributes they'll have to put into that game for celebrities that have died, and
yeah.
also like people who played the game literally the entire time that it's existed, so they're like some kind of super player. So it's like, well, of course we have to put a memorial in the game for them.
Yeah, actually, have you seen the 10-year anniversary statue that people got for being a member for 10 years?
No, I didn't.
It's huge. Hold on.
Oh, is it a real physical statue?
Yeah.
Okay. Why, did you get one?
No, I wish.
Oh. But yeah, like, I've read, like, all the lore about freaking, like, everything about Warcraft, basically. So
yeah.
Then I was like, okay, well, obviously Sargeras is going to come back at some point again.
Yeah.
Video games are weird.
That's true. God, yeah, I want to see Sargeras in the game. Just
yeah, like, come on, he was in that tomb in
yep.
Warcraft 3, and that
yep.
same tomb is probably also in World of Warcraft somewhere. I don't remember.
Not yet, at least.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we fucking. So, is a Maelstrom stopped yet? Can it be stopped?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean,
exactly
we went into it.
Well,
I remember
yeah,
that.
Technically. It's a. That the whole part of the game is weird because technically you're not going into it, you're going into a portal that takes you into the elemental dimension of Earth.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember. I fucking fought, like, all sorts of golems.
Yeah, I really didn't like that area.
I liked the underwater one. That was an interesting idea.
I fucking couldn't stand that area. God. I leveled up at least 3 characters through that zone, and it...
Well, to be... I don't know if it makes any difference, but it was, like, right when the expansion came out. So, like,
yeah.
It was high traffic, so it was easy to, like, group up with a bunch of people.
Okay.
And, like, groups always makes MMOs better. Fucking lore.
Yep.
Are you guys big fans of lore in general?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Actually, I've gotten on like a kick of listening to game soundtracks again, as I've done in the past, and I was like, it started with Deus Ex Human Revolution, because that is an excellent soundtrack. The game is pretty good, too.
Very.
But I've been listening to the Mass Effect soundtracks.
Okay.
Like, listening to the soundtrack for the first one, and, like, there's, like, at least a few tracks in there that are, I guess a little bit memorable, because, like, I hear it while I'm doing something else, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of that one part. I'm like, man, maybe Mass Effect 1 is the best of the series.
Oh, wow.
Goddamn, that game is something else. Like, 2 and 3 are better games.
Right.
Mass Effect 1, I think, is, like, a better realization of their universe.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Even if it's pretty dull in parts. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like... Mass Effect 1 is almost like if people had liked Wind Waker when it first came out instead of bitching about how it looked, and then, like, realized when it first came out that it was really good. Like, so it's like, oh, what if they had made 2 sequels to Wind Waker, except they actually did do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it's got, like, the tediums that Wind Waker did, just like with the sailing, when you're going around checking out planets that are, like, otherwise, oh, like, look pretty similar.
I forgot about that lander thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes.
Fuck that game.
Driving.
He remembers the Mako when he's out.
Fucking yeah, pulled the ripcord.
No, like, for real, fuck the Mako.
God damn, that thing was stupid.
I fucking love Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, it definitely seemed more, what's the word, rich?
I felt more
diversity.
I felt like I could more easily get lost in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, actually, oh my god, where am I, what's going on, but just, like, just
immersed.
Lost in it. Yeah, immersed. Like, because 2 and 3 are tight, like, I mean, 2, like... I remember I probably played through Mass Effect 1 like 5 or 6 times before I played Mass Effect 2.
Oh, wow.
And then I finally played Mass Effect 2 and I was like, holy shit, this is actually fun to shoot now.
Oh, yeah.
Mass Effect 3 is pretty good, though. But the first one...
I don't remember much about any of them. I played through them once and was just like, okay, that was a nice story.
Really?
Yeah.
I've probably played through the first one like 8 or 9 times now. And the second one, definitely half that, because like I played through the first 2 back-to-back right up before 3 came out. Like,
okay.
Literally... Like, a day or two before Mass Effect 3 came out, I finished Mass Effect 2. So, like, both of those games were, like, extremely fresh in my mind
yeah.
when I dove into Mass Effect 3. Yeah, I definitely don't remember Mass Effect 3 being a disappointment, but, like, going even further away from it, like, man, it was not the strongest of that trilogy.
Right.
I think I might like the first one even more than either of those two.
So say I'm not someone who's big into lore, and I tried to play Mass Effect 1 before, and got like an hour or two in before being like, this gameplay is not something I think I can do. Should I just not try?
Yeah, I would... Have you played 2?
No, I own it, but I have not played it.
Yeah, you could probably skip...
3 are, like, a lot more like Gears of War in terms of their actual gameplay.
Okay.
Like, the shooting, like, the combat.
Yeah.
But then it's still got, like, plenty of, like, role-playing, like, you got all these dialogue options, and, like,
yeah.
Well, and also actual, gameplay choices. But yeah, like, there's so many ways to, like, make a Mass Effect 1 save, and, like, you could probably just look up videos or, like, not even worry about it and just go straight to 2.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't get through the gameplay elements of 1, you can skip it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I had a hard time with the shooting in that game.
Sure.
I did too, and then I played through it, like, almost a dozen more times. Like, it was so bad. Like, trying to... like, trying to use a sniper rifle in Mass Effect 1.
I've heard things about that.
Yeah. You, there's, like, one class that, like, has a sniper rifle skill, I think, and you have to have it, like, most of the way maxed. Like, not all the way, but you have to have, like... You have to have, like, a good way filled on that skill before there's, like, no shaky scope.
Sure. You're talking
and
about the PC version?
On every version.
Okay.
Yeah. It was kind of... The combat in the first one is kind of a bummer a lot of the time, unless you're just, like, a shoot guns guy. Just use boring weapons in the first one to get through it. Or just skip the first one, if you can't
do
that.
See, I might have to do that, because I usually don't, like, do something just to get through it. Like, unless you're paying me for a job, I'm not gonna, like, subject myself to something I'm not enjoying.
I need you to play through the Mass Effect trilogy in succession for a video games website that I'm probably starting. I mean, I could play it and then people could watch. I wouldn't make anybody who doesn't enjoy playing that game actually play it, because you shouldn't if you don't want to. It's not fun to play a lot of it, I guess. Between the guns and the Mako, and it's like, God damn it. But I can just read the codex until I've read everything, or listen to that guy tell it all to me. That guy has a good science voice.
I do like good science voices.
Yeah. Like there's a narrator for the codex. He reads it to you, and it's like hearing him say it, it's almost as if you're watching something like on PBS or like the National Geographic Channel. Just like, this dude sounds official as fuck. Am I sure this isn't, like, a real thing that I'm listening to? That probably exists for real, for all I know. Listen to that guy's voice. Fox, did you find that secret world code?
Oh, fuck. shit.
For real, though, like, just... At least try it for that trial.
I should.
Like, I'm getting to the point now that I can almost do everything, so the possibilities are endless. It's, like, almost too much depth, to be perfectly honest. Because you can literally use any passive skills on any build. It's just like, well...
Oh, wow.
Like, I'd use these two weapons, and I don't even necessarily need to use any of the passives for either of them. It's broken up into the 9 weapons, but then there's also, like, the use type, I guess. There's, like, Frenzy, Focus, Burst, Blast, and then, like, you know, targeting stuff like targeted AoE, ground AoE, point-blank AoE, and all that stuff. And, like, there's passives that are, like, specifically for, like, oh, all of your point-blank AoEs will also do this. Or all of your frenzy skills will also start stacking this buff on you. And it's just crazy. I don't know, I think that's one of the things that's keeping me going in it, is like, I want to fill this out so that I can just try everything. Fuck. And just try the dumbest stuff. Like, I don't know, I guess you can, like, make some kind of summoning build with, like, what was it, shotguns and elemental magic. Because shotguns can throw down turrets. It's a really good MMO if you like mechanics. Like, are you into raids?
I do enjoy me a good raid.
Okay. I actually haven't gotten to the raids yet. I'm still in, like, basically the heroic for the dungeons that are in the game, because I need to get my epics. And that's one of the weird things, though, is, like, with some of these later expansions, they're just, like, kind of stacking more mechanics on top of everything, and it's, like, this is almost too much. But it's good.
I'm still looking for that fucking code. I just found a fucking email from MySpace from 09.
That's probably not right.
That's not the code, at least.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Ori and the Blind Forest is up on Steam now.
So is Hotline Miami 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I gotta stop playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I've been playing MMOs and Monster Hunter. Guys, Monster Hunter is really goddamn good.
Are you playing the DS one?
Yeah, Monster Hunter 4 came out, like, a month ago? I can't remember.
Wow.
Recently. Fuck. Yeah, they added online in this one.
Fuck.
Which is nice. Monster Hunter 4.
I still gotta catch them all, though.
You still need to catch them all?
Yes. No, I have to catch all. Apostrophe EM. Actually, I have caught them all.
Have you?
I need.
What are you doing now? Are you breeding?
I'm catching shinies now.
Jesus. That'll
that
never end.
That sounds like the point where you've gone down a fucking hole,
yeah.
My friend.
Oh, like, are you trying to, like, do anything competitive?
I do have a competitive team. I just haven't gotten into any tournaments because I keep missing the cutoff.
Ah. Yeah, because, like, a friend of mine, like, he's been streaming on Twitch and, like, actually is starting to do pretty good.
That's cool.
But, like, for, like, mostly he's just been streaming Pokemon. Like, he got a 2DS
right.
with the capture stuff built in. So, like, he pretty much does, like, battles with viewers. And, like, I don't know. He and this other friend of ours, like, the two of them together are, like, this weird encyclopedia of Pokemon. Like, the two of them mm-hmm. together just, like, know everything. And they're basically unstoppable.
Spence, an encyclopedia nice. Pokemon is called a Pokédex. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Seriously, dude.
Anyway, like, one of them is, like, the knowledge guy, and the other guy, like, will just try any weird shit, and, like, they're just unstoppable. So together, they make, like, a human Pokédex. There you go. Is that...
Yeah.
Alright.
That's, like, the polar opposite of me, who you guys will recall last played, only Pokemon game I played after Pearl was when my friend let me borrow, what was it, Black or whatever, and I doing that Let's Play over Twitter of me watching the TV channel for like an hour and a half.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah. That was
yeah.
great.
That was good. It was good.
I actually would have kept going with that. It was just such a pain to stop, take out my phone, line up
right.
my phone with the DS screen, crop the picture, and then upload it every time.
Sure.
If I could have just actually like live captured, because all those reactions and the tweets were just my actual reactions. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah. I mean, you could probably just emulate all that shit at this point.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Actually,
yeah, that
yes.
fun.
You could easily emulate all of that shit at this point.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
It's weird. Like, the original Xbox, super hard to emulate, as it turns out.
Yep.
Fucking, kills me. Because there's no better version of Jet Set Radio Future.
I knew that's what you're gonna bring up,
Xbox.
And I agree with you 100%. Like, they got their Halo 1 and 2 over, but I don't give a shit. Give me Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah. I will buy an Xbox One for Jet Set Radio Future if I have to.
Yeah, as if Sega didn't close Smilebit.
I know. They
Capcom
fucking,
closed
they put
Clover.
Jet Grind Radio out.
As a bad
HD.
Port. Yep. Along with Crazy Taxi.
Yeah,
I think I own them.
That.
I never
yeah.
played them. I mean, I played the originals. I didn't play the bad ports.
Why couldn't they do Jet Set Radio Future, though?
There's no accounting for taste, Spence.
God damn it. Am I, like, the only person in the world who's, like, passionate enough to be like, who do I gotta tell?
Spence, you and I were talking about trying to extract the audio files from the actual Xbox disc.
Yeah,
so that we can make
exactly.
an appropriate soundtrack to that game with all the crossfades. Yeah.
Like, Fox, I don't know how much you've played of Jet Set Radio Future, but like, if you listen to the soundtrack that's out there, that's like all the individual tracks separately, but in the game itself, they're all like blended together into like basically one mega mix.
Yeah, it's like DJ set, and it's crazy. It's really
and
good.
There's like no other way to hear that mega mix of all the songs like mixed together like that without like playing the game. Like, I didn't want to emulate that game to like just fucking play like this superior version of it. Like, because trying to play it on a 360 doesn't fucking work.
Nope.
Like, it does, but like, there's like this fucking frame loss, and it's tragic. It's goddamn tragic.
That map flicker.
It's a tragedy. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to rip like the music files out of the ISO, and you can't. Like, wow. the original Xbox isn't emulated to the point that you could do that. So like, you couldn't even like keep the game itself if you wanted to.
But Spence, think about this. When they re-released Jet Set Radio, they changed the soundtrack, because of course they're not going to relicense all those songs. Same will be for Future. It wouldn't even have the same soundtrack, as well as being a disappointing port. So we're talking about 2015 Sega. Like, where's PSO2?
Yeah. I mean, like, I would at least like to play an HD version of it, because that game's still awesome.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, like, at some point, I will just rebuy myself an original Xbox, because I still have my copy of Jet Set Radio Future.
Damn straight.
One that, like, I tracked down for months, because, like, there was none at any of the game stores in this city at the time. And there was, like, I think I looked online a lot, and, like, it was either extremely expensive or... not in stock anywhere. And, like, I think a friend of mine and I went to, like, a used CD store one day because, like, I was trying to find it again, just like, can I track down this game somewhere? And this used CD store had it for, like, $12.
Word.
It was fantastic. Man, I remember. I played through, like, almost the entire game in, like, one sitting, and... I got all of the graffiti souls and unlocked all of the extra characters, and I've done that, like, probably 3 or 4 times now. It's been a long time since I played that game again, because I don't have an original Xbox right now. But someday, soon. Anyway, that's me ranting about my passions. Jet Set Radio Future and all of that other stuff I talked about.
Now I'm just looking at Killer 7 eBay auctions.
Oh, shit.
What?
Man, we've been talking about some good games.
I still have a GameCube copy of Killer 7.
I don't know what happened to my copy of Killer 7. I think I lent it to somebody who was untrustworthy.
Oh.
That's what happened to my copy of Super Smash Bros. Melee. Wait, I think there was another game, too.
My copy of Killer 7... Anthony and I bought it at launch and split the cost, 25 each. No regrets.
Nice.
Like, yeah, the game was a bargain bin in, like, 3 weeks. Doesn't matter. The game is so fucking good.
Like, yeah, Majora's it was worth
Mask.
That money.
Well, the funny thing is, like, Majora's Mask, first time I played through it, I didn't... Well, actually, I did beat Majora's Mask first playthrough, but Killer 7 I didn't. It was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. And then, like, with Majora's Mask, I got a just kind of this urge to go back to it. And when I did, it was, like, the same day of the year. I can't remember what it was, but it... was like March 23rd, exactly 5 years later or whatever. I'm like, holy shit. And the second time through, fucking loved it. Played through it with Joe, and we just lost our minds with how good that game is.
Yeah.
My ring, or my text tone is still the Heaven Smile.
The Heaven Smiles, yes.
Freaks the shit out of people, yep.
I've considered something like that.
Oh, you absolutely should. Just, Spence, you do not have a BlackBerry anymore, right?
No, I don't.
But you did have a Curve, right?
I did.
Yes, you remember how those speakers on the lowest volume setting were about 300 decibels?
Yeah, you couldn't make that quiet to save your life.
No, and you know how whenever you got a text, for some reason the screen would light up with about the brightness of the sun? Okay.
I mean, like, my phone right now does that too, actually. It lights up when I get a text.
Okay,
for
well,
a
Spence,
second.
Hear
for
me
a
out
second.
On this.
I know what you're talking about, though. It's like, why are you still on?
No, it's fine. Just trust me, it's very relevant to the story. So
yeah.
Back on that BlackBerry
curve. No, yes,
curve,
I know.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, you've heard the story.
Yes.
Have you, Fox?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there we go.
I mean, you can finish it.
I had, you know, been using the Heaven Smile Laugh, the Spawn sound as my text tone.
Yeah.
Like the probably creepier one. Right, well, I was like, let's try the one when they actually explode on you and you take damage. Like, that'll be a good idea. So I set it, and then didn't get any text for a while, and then put it on my bedstand next to my bed, and was laying in bed at some ass early hour of the morning in a completely dark room, and hit that point where I was about 90% asleep, like I was almost gone. Then I got a text. So one second, I'm basically asleep, and the next, my entire room is bathed in white light, just like in the game when they explode. Now, again, at about the sound of a freight train, the Heaven Smile Explode sound happens, which, of course, because I've beaten through the game, is like already something that like triggers a fear response in my brain, and I just about shat myself clean out of the bed.
Oh,
so
my God.
That didn't last. I quickly changed that.
I don't know, like... That's the kind of thing that, like, you have as your text tone when you go into, like, say, a scary movie and you put your phone on.
Well, it's great. Even just last night, like, I was hanging out with a bunch of Mormons and we were in a gym and it was, like, you know, relatively loud just from all of the chatter and people playing basketball and such. So
sure.
That goes off and you just see, like, three heads perk up.
As Mormons
like,
do.
The fuck was that? Yeah, no, as Mormons do. It's great. It's fun. But it just, it never doesn't freak people out. And once in a while, do you hear that? No. Hear what? What are you talking about? Describe it to me. It's great. Oh, it messes with people so much.
I should have gone with something more subtle, because right now my text tone is the sound of when you die from a Souls game.
Nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
My text tone is the sound of the draw point in Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, nice. Wow, we are all fucking nerds.
Yeah.
Yup.
Three great.
I mean, like, with mine, like, it, like, you know, like, in that game, it gets to the point it's like, you have to accept it. Like, if you're not comfortable with that sound, like, when you hear it, then, like, you haven't played it long enough. Like, you haven't come to understand it yet.
Yeah, I just started back into Dark Souls 2. Just
I
beat
the first one.
The spider boss.
Right,
for the first time.
I didn't play very much of Dark Souls 2 solo because I just wanted to get through it quickly because I liked the PvP in that game.
Mm.
They had done like some kind of weird beta thing during the summer that was like, this beta is going to be running like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Pacific time, though. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to stay up and play that for, like, the hour or two that it's live. And the whole time I just did PvP because it was really fucking good.
Nice.
Or, like I did the PvP, like, the one area that they let you go through. Like, I did it, like, once or twice, but then, like, I did more PvP. And, like, this is really solid. And, like, I had never really tried it much in Dark Souls 1. But Dark Souls 2 for me is like that's my game that I want to play for PvP.
Mm.
In a Souls game.
Right.
Because it's really fucking solid. Dark Souls 1 is a superior PvE game though.
Yeah.
By far. Oh, it's so good. Dark Souls 1 is so good. Guys, video games are great. Video games are terrible and they're great and they're weird.
Yeah.
They're
I
all of those
of you
things.
Heard that. I got a phone call, so like Phoenix Wright music started blaring out of my
nice.
Phone as
nope.
I slammed my headset onto mute. So, just to continue up the real nerdery here.
Yeah. Well, turns out all media and certainly all things in the world are pretty great and terrible and weird.
That's true.
And yeah. all sorts of other things to describe them. That's not enough adjectives. Not at all.
I think that you're very quickly becoming an episode of Welcome to Night Vale. Like, you can just keep this up.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I figured a friendly outro was... I mean, whatever.
No, it's good. It's all good. I like it.
All right.
Everything anyway. Is weird and terrible and wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything yeah. is bad and good and, like, just, what the fuck? That's messed up. That's really messed up, you guys. oh, yeah, that
very,
reminds...
Very ending of the podcast. I'm still playing with the pony. Clay.
Yeah. No, that reminds me of the first time that I visited you, and I woke up on your couch and decided to start playing Piano 3, and... getting about 20 minutes in before I was like, this is literally unplayable.
Yeah, that game is hot fucking garbage.
Too bad. Like, right? Kind of a good idea, but, like, man, what a bummer.
Yeah.
Video games are a bummer.
Don't get no, that's the last of the episode. Video games are a bummer. Click.
Guys, everything is cool and not cool all at one time. Everything's just kind of this one continuum. And I hope that when I die, I can become some kind of space ghost so that I can just venture off into space and see what else is out there. That's what I want to do, but you don't have to do that.